Over the years, you have encouraged, by hook or crook, one way or the other, a lot of people to come forward, military people, pilots, you know, credible witnesses, very credible witnesses, and you've been prepared to meet with Congress and have a gigantic disclosure. In other words, in essence, the smoking gun accumulation of evidence that that would prove in court all of this is real. That's a, in my view, that's always been, and I've discussed this with you many times, a somewhat dangerous occupation.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, in 2001, we had the disclosure event at the National Press Club, and that was the most watched press event in the history of the Internet, by the way. And that summer, a three-star general told one of our military witnesses that they said, you know, this is to upset some people. Dr. Greer should be checking under his car for bombs.
That's right.
And I laughed. I said, well, I'm not too worried about that because we have other systems in place, which I won't go into.
Are you still laughing?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, only in the sense that we are not the kind of people who get intimidated by threats. And if I was, I would have pulled out of this in 1992 when the former head of Army Intelligence and other people were trying to push me in that direction.
Right.
So my view of it is that, you know, we have a responsibility to step up and do the right thing to get this information out. And I have to remind people that as recently as a couple months ago, I was meeting with a member of Congress who's very good friends with John Kerry, and discussing this whole matter, and particularly the energy issue as it relates to it. And they were there is enormous interest within Congress. There was enormous interest in the Clinton administration. As you know, I met with very senior people in the Clinton administration.
I'm well aware, yes.
And yet, the problem is that nobody wants to act, and they're not acting because they're afraid. And we cannot give in to fear. And I have never given in to fear, and I will never give in to fear.
Well,
although those things have been attempted. And I think that what I tell people is that, you know, if you understand what's at stake, look, I'm an emergency doctor. I've taken care of people killed over 50-cent beers. This is more important than a 50-cent beer.
It sure
so
is.
You can't worry about that. You take adequate precautions. I'm on the radio tonight with you as a precautionary move, quite frankly. And I think that the people listening, the millions of people listening to this right now, need to understand that they will not stand for this kind of intimidation, that the world deserves to know the truth and needs to know the truth, and we cannot let anyone intimidate us otherwise.
All right. Well, here was an attempt at intimidation. This phone call came in when, Doctor?
This came in just about 2 or 3 weeks ago at the CSETI line outside D.C.
Here it is. Listen carefully.
The mail whole for CSETI number 301-249-3915, recorded message dated July 19th, 2004. At time is 12:35 a.m.
7th, saved message.
Stop prying into government matters or dire consequences will result.
July 19th, 12:35 a.m.
We're going to play the whole thing now. Bear with us.
Stop prying into government matters or dire consequences will result.
Put July 19th, 12:35 a.m. To repeat.
Stop prying into government matters or dire consequences will result.
Message saved for 24 days.
A little more.
The number on the caller ID for this call was 649-486-3151. And according to the internet, a 649 number is in the Turks and Caicos Island, that's C-A-I-C-O-S, in the Caribbean. And when calling this number back, the message you get the message, call cannot be completed as dial. Please check the number and dial again, WA-001.
That's it. Dr. Greer?
Yeah.
All right. So, obviously, this, you know, I would presume you've probably had a lot of threats over the years. Why did you choose to send the audio of this one along?
The reason I chose to send the audio of this one along, and to also, a key point of this, is that when you call the number that caller ID showed it was coming from, it's a non-existent number.
Right.
This is an electronically altered voice.
Right.
So, you know, is this a threat you take seriously? Yes. Is it something that alters anything we'll do? No. If anything, we will redouble our efforts. Now, the reason I think people need to know about this sort of thing is that it proves the point I made back in the 90s when we had briefed the CIA director for President Clinton's first CIA director. We had briefed the head of intelligence joint staff.
A lot of people have no idea that was actually done, that the CIA director was briefed.
Yes, I know, and this is something we need to talk about and why things are still going the way they are. But people were intimidated. And what I'm saying to people is that our assessment was that this group, because we were given direct intelligence from the President of the United States and his CIA director and his Secretary of Defense and pertinent members of the Senate Intelligence Committee and other senior members of Congress, that when they made directed inquiries into this matter, that they were denied access or flat out lied to. This is illegal. And believe me, if this was a legitimate government operation instead of a rogue and illegal operation, you would not be getting phone calls like this threatening a civilian medical doctor to back down off of what he is doing, because we're about to pull more information out to the public in the next 6 months.
Doctor, I understand your reaction. What about those around you? What about the people who took the call? What about the people who heard about the call? How did the others at CSETI react?
Well, I think that the woman's voice you hear on that tape is a trusted assistant and friend who is aware of the threat. I mean, she and others who work with me are aware that this is not a risk-free operation.
Right.
I've said for years this is not for the faint of heart. But I also remind people that not a single Disclosure Project witness, and we have people who even into the 90s had top secret SCI, Special and Compartmented Intelligence, clearances, none of them have gotten a phone call saying, be quiet and don't talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have continued to get these sort of things where it says, stop what you're doing, but we're simply not going to respond to that. Now, let's say, if you analyze this carefully, what you have to conclude is that the group that has phoned this in and have done other things cannot be operating under legal constitutional authority.
No.
If they wanted me to stop this, they could just slap an order on me.
Well, I haven't.
You know, hey, John Ashcroft or Dick Cheney can come and say, hey, and they can issue and do an in-camera proceeding and muzzle me.
Right.
Good luck. I'll go to jail first.
Doctor, has it occurred to you that they understand you're a really good person to, you know, go to a witness, somebody who's really seen something or worked in their career, their government career in a sensitive area and really know something. They know you're a good person to get that information from people, and maybe they know that there are some people yet out there who are about ready to start talking. We're all getting a little older, Doctor.
Yeah, there are some people. We have 450 of these witnesses.
Maybe they know you're about to get to one of them.
Well, we have them. And there are some major media events, as you know, that are being planned, some by outside media and some by our group, the Disclosure Project. And we intend to continue to move these things out into the public. I think the other thing is that we are very close to identifying some scientists who can reproduce the modus operandi of these so-called UFOs, mm-hmm. including the anti-gravity effect. So one of the things that is inevitable is that the truth is going to be known. The only question is when and how.